Let us again wait upon the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we wait before Thee again in the worthy name of our Saviour. We thank Thee that Thou hast hearkened to our cry, for Lord, Thou hast drawn nigh to our hearts. Thou hast blessed us already with Thy presence here. We thank Thee for the Word of God that we have read. And as we come now to preach it forth, to uplift the Saviour, to make much of the finished work of His cross, O God, we cry to Thee that Thou by Thy Spirit will apply the Word, that we will hear the voice of the Shepherd Himself speaking to our hearts, the hearts of the people of God, the hearts of any in the meeting who are still without the Saviour, who are still wandering and lost in sin. Lord, we cry to Thee that Thou wilt come and rescue them, that Thou wilt come and deliver them, that Thou wilt come and seek them out and save them by Thy grace. We ask again for the protection of the blood. Lord, we know that the archenemy of the souls of men is always seeking to get an inroad into such a meeting as this. He would attempt to draw away our thoughts onto the things that are earthly and fleshly and mundane and temporal. But, O God, we cry to Thee that there may be a hedge of the blood around this very meeting. Lord, do come and minister Thy truth to our souls in the power of Thy Spirit as we endeavor to preach Christ and Him crucified. We ask these things in our Savior's name. And for His sake. Amen. Amongst the many descriptive titles of God given to us in the Bible, the psalmist David really introduces us to one that is very well known. I'm thinking particularly of the psalm that we often refer to as the Shepherd Psalm. And when I say the Shepherd Psalm, no doubt the number of the psalm will immediately spring to your mind. It is Psalm 23. And when you think of the opening words of that psalm, the psalm that is so well known, such a precious psalm, the Lord, or remember those words are in capitals in our authorized version, so indicating to us that it's really Jehovah. Jehovah is my shepherd. Those are the words of the psalmist. They are words of testimony, personal testimony, as he thinks of the Lord, and he's able to say of the Lord that the Lord is his shepherd. As a shepherd himself, the psalmist knew something of the special relationship that existed between a shepherd and his sheep. He also knew, no doubt by experience, all that would be involved in the rescue of a sheep that would go astray. And it is to straying, scattered sheep that the prophet Isaiah likens the entire human race. I'm thinking of the words of our text here in Isaiah 53, and verse 6, and the words are these: all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Such a text as this doesn't need a lengthy introduction. And the theme that I'm going to preach upon, based on this text, is simply this: rescuing straying sheep. Rescuing straying sheep. Or to express it another way, rescuing those who are lost in sin, saving those who are perishing in their sin. And as we come to consider this text for just a little while this evening, there are three simple things that are really just lying right on the surface of the text. This is one of those texts where you don't really have to really ponder and think much about an outline, because it's really here just in front of your very eyes as you actually read the verse itself. All we like sheep have gone astray. And there's the first point. And then you come to the second point. We have turned everyone to his own way. And you come to the third point. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So the first thing I draw your attention to is simply the plight of all men, according to our text. And the plight of all men is here clearly and plainly stated. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. You'll notice how the prophet Isaiah expresses it. All we, like sheep. And when you read those words, no doubt you begin to think probably of a figure of speech. Now there are many, many figures of speech throughout the scriptures. But the one that the prophet uses here is just simply the figure of speech called a simile. That's expressing a likeness. And that's not surprising when you find the little word like here. All we like sheep have gone astray. So as the prophet Isaiah considers the state of all humanity, he uses this simile to portray their real condition, their terrible plight. And he's saying that all humanity have gone astray like sheep. This is the state of the entire human race. So clearly and so plainly and so simply stated that no one can really have any difficulty in understanding what is meant or the likeness that's being spoken of. Whenever a sheep goes astray, or even a flock of sheep would go astray, what happens? What takes place? Well, for one thing, in going astray, they leave the shepherd's presence. They leave the shepherd's presence. They leave the shepherd's guidance, his care for them. To express it another way, they become separated from him. And then the stray sheep, being separated from the shepherd, they wander. They wander here, there, and yonder. And undoubtedly they will wander into places of great danger. And unless they're rescued, they will most certainly come to great harm. In this world in which we live, there's so much grief, there's so much pain, indeed there's so much sorrow. The grief, the pain, the sorrow, it impacts upon the body, it impacts upon the mind. And all of those things, the grief, the pain, the sorrow, are but the effects of man straying from the great shepherd. God himself is the great shepherd of humanity. We could think back for a moment to the Garden of Eden, to the first man, Adam, first woman, Eve, and when they were upon this earth before the fall, they knew a wonderful fellowship and a communion and a closeness with God, their creator, the God who made them. But when they sinned, everything changed. Because when they sinned, they went astray. They went astray from God. They did that which God commanded them not to do. And therefore, they transgressed his commandment, his law, and they sinned. And everyone from then until now, born by natural generation, have gone astray from the Lord himself. So much have they gone astray that the Bible says, there is none that seeketh after God. There is no one that seeketh after God. They have gone astray like sheep. Then think of something else here. When the sheep go astray, they're no longer following the shepherd, are they? Yes, they've been separated from his presence. But then when they go astray also, they have left his path. You will know that the Oriental shepherd was the one who went in front of the sheep. He went before the sheep. He was there to lead the sheep. And that's why his position was there in front of them. And he was marking out the path for them. He was actually marking out the path for them by the very presence of his own body as he was there in front of the sheep. There's a path that's defined for us and shown to us in Scripture. Doesn't the Word of God say that his Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path? And it is God's Word that really summarizes this path that is marked out by the shepherd himself, by God himself. And it's summarized in a very simple, a very, very succinct way. We are to love the Lord, the great shepherd. And we are to love him with our whole being. With our whole being. And we're also to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's what the Word of God teaches. But we have gone astray from this path. This is the plight, you see, of all mankind. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. That's why Paul, when he's writing to the Romans in Romans 8, verse 7, he says that we're not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can we be. And therefore the Scriptures tell us that there is none righteous. There is no one righteous. No, not one. So this is our plight by nature. We're not subject to God's law, and if we're not subject to the law, then we're rebels against God. And we're indicating that by how far we have strayed from the Lord. Well, that's the first simple truth in our text. But it leads us to speak about the next one, the second one, and that's the practice of all men. We've been thinking about the plight of all men, having gone astray from the Lord, having gone astray from his commandment, having gone astray from his word, having gone astray from him. But how is this going astray? How does it manifest itself? Well, that's why we want to come and think about the practice of all men. And it's here before us in this verse 6 of Isaiah 53, and here's the practice of everyone. We have turned everyone to his own way. There it is. We have turned everyone to his own way. In other words, that's saying we have really shaped out a path for ourselves that gratifies our own desires. We seek to satisfy the lustings of our flesh by going in this pathway. We've gone astray, yes, but we have turned every one of us, turned to our own way. What does that really mean? What is the prophet here really saying? We have turned everyone to his own way. What does he mean by our own way? Well, when we think about a way, really, it boils down to this. We're thinking about a pattern of practice. A way is really a pattern of life. And what we have in our text before us here in this practice is that we have this condition that we're in, this sinful condition before God, but we must understand it really in an individual way. We have a pattern of life that's shaped, that's molded by our own desires, by our own appetites, by our own ambitions, by our own goals. We have that pattern of life that we follow. You see, we have a way that's particular to ourselves, a way that is peculiar to us. That's why the prophet here expresses it in this manner. We have turned everyone to his own way. Therefore, if it's his own way, it's not God's way. It's not God's way, because there really is little or no thought of God at all. It's a way that comprises of all of our sins. And when you turn to such a scripture as we have there in Matthew chapter 15 and read about the state of man's heart, and then discover that out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. And everyone who has gone astray is following in his own particular way. We have a way by nature that is not the way of the Lord. To express it in other words, we have set ourselves up on the throne of our own hearts. And the heart belongs to God. But we have put ourselves upon the throne of our own hearts. And instead of regarding God's will, instead of respecting God's word, what are we really doing? Well, we're not going to respect God's standards, just like the straying sheep. We want to sit as kings and queens on the throne of our own hearts. As we practice our own way, having turned everyone to his own way. And that being so, then the reasoning of the mind, the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, that's in rebellion against the Lord is simply, well, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I like. This is what I want. This is what I'm going to live for. I'm going to make the choice. And I'm going to please myself. You see, this is the kind of practice that's going on in the unregenerate heart. And in the life of the man, the woman that's not saved, that doesn't know the Lord, that has gone astray, just like a lost sheep. And then you bring to mind those words of scripture in Romans 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The very purpose for which God created man has abandoned, man has forsaken because he's gone astray. He's fallen short of that standard. And in essence, what man has done as he engages in this practice of turning to his own way, he's really robbing God. Robbing God of the very end for which God made him. And the end for which God made man was to glorify him. And as the Catechism says, to enjoy him forever. You see, man has the self-centered heart. It's not the Christ-centered heart. But you must realize this, that being so, with a self-centered heart and not a Christ-centered heart, as one who has gone astray from the Lord and is still in your sin, engaging in this practice of turning to every time, turning to your own way, I want you to know that the God of heaven is incensed with that kind of practice. The God of heaven is incensed with that manner of living that you are engaging in. And you're in effect and in essence saying, I don't want God, but I do want to be my own God. I just want to be my own God. Well, if you live out your days, whether they be long or short, just wanting to be your own God, and you die as a stray sheep, doing your own thing, you must realize and know that the wrath of God is going then to break upon your head. And you're going to hear his word as you've never heard it before. And the word that you will hear will simply be this: depart. Depart from me. You didn't want me. You turned to your own way. Now I will give you what you've wanted. And you'll hear the words, depart from me. Those words are terrible enough. They're awful words to hear. But there's more to follow. Depart from me into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. That's what you're going to hear if you die as a stray sheep, lost, never rescued, never saved by the grace of God. That's why you should cease from this practice of turning always to your own way. That's why if you're in the meeting tonight unsaved, you should not leave God's house tonight still wanting to follow after your own way. You should come in submission to God's way and trust in Jesus Christ, the good shepherd of the sheep, as your Savior and your Redeemer. Well, we've thought here about the plight of man, all men. We've also noticed the practice of all mankind, turning everyone to his own way. Well, that brings us then in the third place to think about the provision. The provision, that's the third simple head. And we find it here in our text in verse 6. And the Lord hath laid on him. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is the provision that's made. I want you to think about this provision for a moment or two. You'll notice the source of it. It's from God. This is God's provision. The Lord, Jehovah, hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is the origin of this provision. It's indicating to you that God has done something. God has done something concerning our condition as stray sheep. God has done something for those who have been engaging in this self-centered practice of turning always to their own way and not the Lord's way. The Lord has in grace and mercy intervened and made a glorious provision. But I want you to notice that this provision focuses on a person. This provision focuses on a person. Perhaps you've noticed that in those words. And the Lord hath laid on him. That's a pronoun, isn't it? Him. I was always taught in school that a pronoun is used in place of a noun. That's how it gets the name pronoun. So we've got this pronoun here. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So there has to be a noun relating to this pronoun. And that's why we need to get the identity of the one that's referred to here by this pronoun, him. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And how are we going to identify the one referred to by this pronoun? Well, if you start to go back in the previous verses here in the chapter, you find that there are pronouns being used frequently. You look, for example, at the previous verse, verse 6. But he, there's another pronoun. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. But who is the him? You follow it back to the next verse, verse 4. Surely he, we still have got these pronouns. He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Then you look at verse 3 and you find the pronouns there again. So you have to go back further. You go back to verse 2 and you still find the pronouns. We haven't found the noun relating to this pronoun yet. In fact, we don't find it here in Isaiah 53, so we must go back into the previous chapter, Isaiah chapter 52. In the very last verse of Isaiah 52, we have these pronouns used again, but we haven't got back to the noun yet. Then you come to verse 14 of Isaiah 52, and we still haven't identified the noun. But when we get to verse 13, oh, look at verse 13 of Isaiah 52. Listen to what we read. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many whereas stonied at thee, his vision was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. And so it follows on down, speaking about the servant. Whose servant? Well, God says, my servant. Well, what's his name? What's the servant's name? Behold, my servant. Ah, here's the noun relating to the pronoun in our text. The Lord hath laid on him. The Lord hath laid on the servant the iniquity of us all. But who is this servant? Can we identify him? Yes, we can. The scriptures do that for us. So we're left in absolutely no doubt. We can be absolutely certain who this servant is, because the Word of God tells us. In fact, do you know, it tells us in the very chapter that we were preaching out of this morning. And that was over in, over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12. And in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, you remember how that the Pharisees were really out to oppose the Lord Jesus at every turn, and they had got very annoyed because of miracles that he had wrought on the Sabbath day, and angry because the Lord's disciples had eaten corn on the Sabbath day. And then, as we mentioned this morning in Matthew 12, verse 14, they went out and held a council against him how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, in verse 15, he withdrew himself from thence. You notice the words? But when Jesus knew it. And then as you come down to verse 18, where Matthew quotes from Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 42, behold my servant. Ah, he's clearly identified, and he's given a name. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Ah, here is the suffering servant of Jehovah. He who is essentially and eternally God. He took the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Oh, in this one, redemption from sin is to be found. That's why our text says here in Isaiah 53, verse 6, and the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus Christ, he's laid on him the iniquity of us all. That brings us to see not only that this provision focuses on a person, but look at the form of this provision. The Lord hath laid on him. The Lord hath laid on him. If we wanted a literal reading of those words, they would read like this. The Lord hath made to meet on him. And the sense and the meaning of that word meet is a strong one, because it means that the Lord has made to strike on him. Meet on him. Strike on him. What? The iniquity of us all. Do you see it? The iniquity of us all. The Lord hath made to meet on him. The Lord hath laid on him. What's this, the great truth that's being set before us? Isn't it the great truth of substitution? Who is the sinner's substitute? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord hath laid on him. Whose iniquity? Well, the text says the iniquity of us all. All the straying sheep. All the straying sheep. The iniquity of the straying sheep has been laid on him. This is the wonderful provision. You remember the words of 2 Corinthians 5, 21. Paul says, he, that is God, hath made him, that is Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, he has redeemed us. He has redeemed us as our substitute. He has borne the wrath of God for our sin. And our sins were laid on him. The Lord hath laid on him. The Lord hath made to meet on him. Made to strike on him. The iniquity of the straying sheep. Didn't the hymn writer catch this truth so well In that hymn, two verses of which read like this: Jehovah lifted up his rod, O Christ, it fell on thee. Thou wast sore stricken of thy God. There's not one stroke for me. Thy tears, thy blood beneath it flowed. Thy bruising healeth me. Jehovah bade his sword awake. O Christ, it woke against thee. Thy blood the flaming blade must slake. Thy heart its sheath must be. All for my sake, my peace to make. Now sleeps that sword for me. Oh, this is the form of the provision in the sinner's substitute. But I want you to notice the features of this provision. This is a complete provision. It's complete. There's nothing can be added to it. Being completed means that there is nothing that we can do to try and add to it or better it. You see, true biblical religion isn't really a doing religion in this sense, that you have to do something by way of your own efforts or your own works. Every false religion requires you to do something by way of merit. But you see, this provision that God himself in grace and mercy has provided for straying sheep, it's a done salvation, if I can express it that way. It's a done salvation. The call of God to the straying sheep, to the sinner, is to embrace and rest by faith on what Christ has done. It's finished. It's complete. But I want you to see also that it's freely offered. This provision is freely offered. I read the words in Isaiah 55, verse 1, Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Oh, there's a rich banquet for your soul, if you will but come to Jesus Christ tonight. But how do you partake of this provision? There's only one way. Only one way is by faith. You can't receive this provision any other way other than by faith, by believing on Jesus Christ. That's the message of the gospel. It's the message of the gospel. Are you here in the meeting tonight, a stray sheep? One who's wandered far from God? Turn to your own way, following your own way, your own path, your own desires. Is the Lord speaking to your heart, calling you to leave that pathway that you're on, calling you to himself? Because if you come to him, you'll no longer be a wandering sheep. You'll no longer be a stray sheep. I came across, just I suppose maybe a couple of months back, a hymn that I'd never heard of before, never known before. I suppose being on the hymn book committee of our presbytery then, sometimes my mind goes more to hymns now than it ever did. But I happened to come across a hymn by Horatius Bonner. You may know that Horatius Bonner was a godly Scottish preacher. In fact, the brother of Andrew Bonner. He was a gifted preacher, but he was also a gifted hymn writer. And he penned these lines. I want to read them to you. They go like this. I was. This is his testimony. You'll notice he's putting it here in the past tense, what he was. I was a wandering sheep. I did not love the fold. I did not love my shepherd's voice. I would not be controlled. The shepherd sought his sheep. The father sought his child. They followed me o'er vale and hill, o'er deserts waste and wild. Jesus, my shepherd is. 'Twas he that loved my soul. 'Twas he that washed me in his blood. 'Twas he that made me whole. No more a wandering sheep. I love to be controlled. I love my tender shepherd's voice. I love the peaceful fold. No more a wayward child. I seek no more to roam. I love my heavenly Father's voice. I love his home. Oh, he speaks about once being a wandering sheep, but no more. He's in the fold. That's what he's saying. Jesus, my shepherd is. Jesus, my shepherd is. I close by quoting one text of Scripture. Over in 1 Peter. Let me read the words to you. 1 Peter 2, verse 25. Peter said this. He's writing here to a people who had been scattered over many places. But though scattered, they were saved. They were in Christ. They knew the Lord. And he said this to them as he wrote his first letter. For ye were as sheep going astray. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And if you can identify with those words and say, yes, I was a sheep going astray once, but I've returned to the shepherd. The Lord Jesus is my shepherd now. Then you're a true Christian. You're a true Christian. But if you've never come to Jesus Christ, you're not a true Christian. You need to come to the shepherd, the one who died for the sheep, the one who gave his life for the sheep, the one who shed his blood for the sheep. And you need to come to him now. You need to come to him tonight. May you come for his name's sake. Let's bow in prayer. We'll not sing our closing hymn tonight. But I do want to say before we close in prayer that if you're in the meeting and you sense and know in your heart that you're a stray sheep, one who's been wandering far from God, and the Lord has been seeking you out, your conscience has been smitten by the word tonight, your heart has been pricked by God's truth tonight, and you know what you must do. You must come to the shepherd and know your sins forgiven. Then I urge you to come now. Don't delay. Flee to Christ. He waits to welcome you, to save you. And he says that all who come he will in no wise cast out. Make certain of Christ. And if you are certain of Christ, then you're certain of heaven. But if you have no Savior, and you die as the stray sheep without him, you're lost forever. Oh, sinner, come to the Savior and trust him. If I can be of any further help to you, make that need known, and I'll be glad to meet with you and help you from the Scriptures. But don't leave God's house tonight still a stray sheep. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for a sense of thy presence and thy nearness in this meeting. And we cry to thee that thou wilt take thine own word and bring it home to all our hearts. O Lord, for any in the gathering who have been wandering on the mountains of sin, wandering in the deserts waste and wild, O Lord, so speak to them that this night they will cease from their wandering and come to the Shepherd. O God, grant that needed grace. Bless thy truth to this end, and be pleased to separate us now in thy fear and with thy blessing, for Christ's sake. Amen.